longer than you know. Let the fire in your heart begin to grow. Loving me is enough. I'm breaking through the dark, shining with my truth and lighting up my
everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Love of Me is Enough podcast. I'm your girl, Natasha Hatchett, and this is the podcast where we talk about real life situations and our trauma, but we not only talk about it. We learn, we process, and we heal through it. So let's get into it. So last week we talked about birthdays, the truth about birthdays, and for some it may have been a trigger, and for some it just might have been another episode. But for whatever it's worth, I wanted to go a little bit deeper, and so today we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. Yeah, it's going to get deep today. So today we're going to be talking about our childhood. We're going to be exploring childhood. When childhood doesn't stay in childhood. Yeah. One of the biggest lies we tell ourselves is, I'm over it. We say this because we've learned to survive. We've built careers, we've raised our children, we started businesses, we went to church, we got saved, and now we know the Lord, and we became successful. But success isn't always the same thing as healing. Sometimes we're functioning, but we're still bleeding all over the place. So today I want us to have an honest conversation, as usual, about the unresolved childhood trauma that quietly shaped our adult lives. A lot of time we don't realize that some of the things that we do in our adult lives is totally stemming from what happened or did not happen in our childhood. So many people think trauma only happens when there's physical abuse, and that is such a big misnomer. But trauma can also come from what didn't happen. The hugs you never received, the words I'm proud of you that were never spoken, the words I love you, the emotional safety you never experienced, the parent who was always physically present but never emotionally available, the love that felt conditional. See, as a child, you just don't remember what happened. You also remember how it made you feel. You also remember things that was done that you just simply cannot verbalize. And those feelings, if they go unresolved, if they go unmanaged, they follow us into adulthood. Yeah, they do. And we don't realize that we're saying what we're saying and doing what we're doing simply because this is something that was never addressed in our childhood. This is something that we never once thought to even give voice to or give a name to or give a feeling to or give an emotion to. We just simply started moving on in adult lives like nothing never happened. And the truth of the matter is, not only did something happen, a lot of things happened. And it has shaped who we have become as adults. It shaped who we've become as parents, who we've become as leaders, who we've become as coworkers, as friends. It has just shaped our lives in ways that we never, ever, ever thought to imagine. Sometimes we carry so much trauma that we don't even realize this trauma anymore, because what we do is we normalize it. This is who I am. You get what you get. This is what I've learned. This is how I've always been. What do you mean there's a problem with me? Because we normalize trauma so much as a culture and as a society, we don't realize that our childhood trauma affects who we become as an adult. Not only do it affect us as adults, trauma certainly does not ask permission. Trauma is like grief. I did an episode a couple months or maybe a year or two back, and it's called Grief, the Silent Sniper, and I think I'm going to bring that one back. But trauma is like grief. It just shows up when it shows up. Doesn't ask permission, doesn't knock on the door, doesn't give you a signal warning. It just shows the hell up. And sometimes, if not most of the times, it shows up when we're not even ready to deal with it, or when we think we have dealt with it and we thought we were past it and we thought we forgave and we thought we moved on and we thought we kumbaya, and boom, here's that trigger. Here's that trauma. It quietly changes the way we see ourselves, and suddenly you're apologizing for everything. You're becoming that overachiever that you once were because you think your worth has to be earned. You fear conflict because conflict once felt unsafe, which conflict, by the way, can be healthy. You choose emotionally unavailable people because emotionally unavailable loves feels familiar. We resort back to our old habits and our old ways when trauma shows up unannounced. We become very anal, for lack of a better term. We become everyone's rescuer because guess what? Nobody rescued us. I want to pause right there for a moment. If you have a person or persons in your life that it seems like they're always Johnny on the spot, they're always there for everybody, they're always rescuing everybody, they're always doing this, they're always doing that, they always, 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 always. I want you to take a deeper look at that person and ask yourself, what trauma are they trying to mediate? What trauma are they trying to manage by trying to be there for everybody else? Who are they rescuing? Are they really rescuing the person, or are they really rescuing themselves? And most of the time, it's not all of the times, they're really rescuing themselves because they know what it feels like not to be rescued. They know what it feels like not to have someone come to your aid. They know what it feels like not to have someone shows up for you. And what that really is their unresolved, unmanaged trauma from that event or episode that caused them to be that way. People who become independent, it's not simply because they want to be independent. I mean, yes, I get it. Independent is a part of life, but they come independent because dependence once led them to disappointment. Dependency was once a trauma for them. They depended on somebody to show up. They depended on somebody to love them. They depended on somebody to be there, and they were filled with disappointment. So instead of dealing with the trauma, we suppress it and become independent. And some of us are hyper independent. We're so independent that it works against us. Transparency moment. There were times in relationships where I should have been codependent. I won't say dependent, but I was so focused on being hyper independent because of the trauma that I suffered from dependency that it caused my relationship. I can remember one relationship in particular. My independence caused my relationship to end. And I don't think I've ever said that out loud. Me being so hyper independent. See, there's a difference between you just being independent and then you being overly and hyperly independent, meaning you really shut down and shut everyone out and you don't ask for help. You know, you're drowning. You know, this person have a life jacket and they can save you. But because you have been so disappointed by dependency in the past, you're determined not to be dependent on anyone. And so what you end up doing is carrying that trauma, unresolved, unmanaged trauma, into whatever relationship. And I carried that into a relationship. And I remember very clearly how it affected that relationship, how it affected my partner, how it made my partner feel. He would never admit it, but it made my partner feel like he was not worthy. It made my partner feel like nothing he did was good enough. And the truth of the matter is, it wasn't him. It was just me dealing and processing unmanaged trauma that I didn't even know I had. I mean, I didn't even know that was a thing for me. And so my independence caused that in that relationship to end. So anyway, back on track. Those of us that are super hyper dependent or super dependent, don't need anybody, don't want nobody, don't. It's because at one point we did depend on someone else, or we did depend on somebody, other people, and we were disappointed. But none of these behaviors that I've mentioned makes you a weak person. It just may have been your way your younger self learned to survive. See, a lot of things that we do in our adulthood is coping mechanisms that our inner child learned to develop and has developed in order for us to thrive and in order for us to survive. So it's not that you can't unlearn the behavior. You just have to recognize that it is a behavior. It is something that I carry. It is something that is unmanaged, is in something that needs to be treated. And I will say this. I am an advocate, because those of you that know me know, I am an advocate for therapy, not only because I'm in the process of being a licensed therapist, but simply because therapy works when you work it. And I'm going to go off this ledge and on my soapbox and say this. There are some cultures, in particular the African-American culture, where we do not believe in therapy. Some of us believe, long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. And hear me clearly, to the super saint that may listen to this. I am not saying that Jesus is not sufficient. I am not. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, in addition to your spiritual belief, in addition to your spiritual journey, in addition to all things spiritual, there is a component that we simply need to address mentally. I believe, and I have a t-shirt that clearly says it, Jesus and therapy equals healing. And you can't get me to think or believe anything different. They go together real bad. Jesus and therapy equals healing. Because if you look at it, one component, and this is me on my soapbox, you're dealing with your spiritual aspect and your spirituality and your growth and your faith and all things spiritual. And then the other component, you're dealing mentally with the things that truly has and continues to traumatize you. Because I don't feel, and this is my opinion, Natasha, let me give the disclaimer, I don't feel that you can truly deal or have one without the other. I don't see it. And I'm a believer in both worlds. I'm a lover of the Lord. I love the Lord with all my heart. But I simply also believe that we need intervention. We need mental intervention. And that's not to suggest that the spiritual aspect is not valid, but yeah, you just need both. So I'm gonna get off my soapbox. Take that as you wish, do with it as you wish, but I just simply believe that both goes together. And when we start ignoring one component or putting one component over the other, instead of making them collaborate and work together and intertwine, it just, you do yourself a disservice. I've seen both. You know, I have been in therapy. I currently have a therapist, because yes, the therapist needs a therapist. Anybody that's in therapy or does this as a life's living will tell you that, if they're honest, we carry vicarious trauma, meaning we carry the trauma of our clients. We carry the trauma of those that are around us. So vicarious trauma is real. And so if you don't have anywhere to dump that trauma, or if you don't have anywhere to release that trauma, what happens is we store it and it becomes a part of who we are, when it's technically not even our stuff. So anyway, I'm done with all of that. Let's deal with our childhood trauma that affects us as adults. So our adult reactions sometimes are rooted in our childhood roots. You know, have you ever wondered stuff like, why does criticism seem so bad to me? Or why do I panic when someone doesn't text me back? Or, you know, why do you stay too long in an unhealthy relationship? Why do compliments make you feel uncomfortable? Natasha, oh, I'll get into that in a minute. Or why are birthdays feel so painful? We talked about that last week. Or why does rejection feel unbearable? Man, these are good. Sometimes the situation in front of us is not creating the pain, but it's simply awakening the pain that has been there all along. For example, birthdays. Remember last week I said they were a trigger. So because they were a trigger, every time it would come, it would re-evoke the trauma that I felt. And then I told you, I don't know where the trauma came from. I don't know how it started. I don't know who started it. I didn't know any of that. I just knew there was a trauma associated with it. But what I want to go back to is, why compliments make you so uncomfortable? I'm a pretty confident person. I've always been, even in childhood. But somehow, sometimes, and maybe it depends on the person too, compliments can feel uncomfortable. You know why? Because most of us aren't used to getting compliments. We're used to hearing the criticism. We're used to hearing the negative. We're used to hearing the bad. But we're not used to hearing, hey, that looks good on you today. Or hey, I love the way you did that. We're not used to hearing positivity. So sometimes compliments can make us feel so uncomfortable to where we don't even know how to accept them. And the other one is, why do you stay too long in unhealthy relationships? $1 million answer? Because that's what you're used to. That's a learned behavior. That's something you saw. That's a trauma that's unhealed. That's a place within you that you have not yet to address. Everything we do in our adulthood stems back to something that may or may not have happened in our childhood. Why do we stay too long in unhealthy relationships? Because that's what we saw. Maybe that's a learned behavior. Maybe you saw an aunt, an uncle, a mom, your dad. Maybe you saw them stay in relationships that weren't unhealthy, all for the sake of love, or the one that I hate the most, oh, I'm just staying for the children. Breathe, Natasha. We'll deal with that another day. Nothing irks me more than hearing a couple say, I'm just in it for the children. Well, are you though? Because what makes you think that those kids don't really know the truth or the reality of their parents' relationship? See, what we do is we underestimate the fact that children don't know what they don't know. When all along, children know what they know. Perfect example. I love my father. May he rest in peace. And I love my mother. But I was excited when my mom left my dad. I didn't know the extent of how it would affect me later on in life, but in that moment, I was excited because I know just by what I saw, my mom was sick and tired of my dad and his shenanigans. Let's just keep it 100. She was just sick of the shenanigans. So she had two choices. She could have continued to stay in a relationship where she was sick of the shenanigans, or she could have chosen to leave. And she chose the latter. She left. What that taught me as a child was, despite how much you love someone, and this is going to piss off the Christian married folks, despite how much you love someone, it is not worth your sanity, your peace, your character, your integrity, your confidence, your self-worth, or your self-esteem to stay with someone when you know it's destroying who you are. That's just my take on it. And we're going to move on. So if we don't heal those inner childhood traumas that we try to suppress all of our lives, it shows up in our adult lives. And it shows up in places and times that we least expected to show up. It shows up when your relationship with your partner is going so great. You guys are vibing. You're having a good time. You're building this beautiful life together. And one thing sets off a trigger. And you run the potential of losing it all. Ask me how I know. I told you in the beginning what happened with me. And instead of us dealing with the trauma, most of the time, we continue to suppress it and act like nothing never happened. Or sometimes we even play the blame game and make it seem like it's the other person's fault. When it's truly, no, you just need to deal with your childhood trauma. You just need to deal with that trigger. See, triggers are not all bad. Triggers, to me, in my opinion, is a reminder that, hey, there's just something else you need to deal with and stop suppressing. Your inner child still has a voice. Yeah. We like to think that that little girl or that little boy inside of us should just shut up and stay in its place. But nope, that's not the case. Your inner child still has a voice. The child inside still speaks to us daily and asks questions. And some of those questions are hard for some of us to answer. Your inner childhood voice still asks, am I enough at times? Am I safe? Will this person leave me too? Do I matter? Can I make a mistake and still be loved? These are questions that sometimes our inner child is still asking. You know why it's still asking? Because we didn't deal with the initial trauma. So your inner child is saying, hey, I still have questions. I still feel vulnerable. I still feel like, is it okay? I was telling a client the other day that, you know, she has this wall built up so high that nothing can go in and nothing can come out. And I didn't necessarily want her to just completely let the wall down. But what I said to her was, if you can just lower it a little bit so you can actually see out of it, is what I asked her to do. And that's what I'm suggesting to us today. I'm not saying that you're going to heal in one day, because that's not how healing works. Healing it comes in phases. But what I am saying is, be intentional about your healing process. Be intentional what it is that you're constantly suppressing, all in the name of, I'm over it. I forgave. I don't want nothing to do with that. I separate myself from this. I don't have nothing to do with it. But in fact, it does. Because your inner child is still hurting from it. As an adult, we often try to silence those questions instead of answering them with compassion. Are you enough? Remember I told you guys how loving me is enough started? Wasn't that I didn't love myself? I just felt like I was in this place where I wasn't loving myself enough. And so I had to go through this phase, this process of healing and talking to God and doing the work. And that's where loving me is enough was birthed. Simply because I answered my inner child who asked one day, are we enough? I could have told her to shut the hell up, but I chose not to. I mean, I've already told her shut the hell up several times, and she didn't. She kept speaking. She kept asking. So now I have to address it. Yeah. And I did. And here we are. Loving Me is Enough podcast. And I don't know. You know, I'm just going to put a pin right here. I don't know if this podcast is helping anyone. I pray that it does. But if it don't, is certainly speaking to my inner child, and she's smiling. Healing doesn't mean pretending that your younger part of you doesn't exist. It simply means learning to care for your younger self in healthier ways. And that's what we have to do. Figure out what it takes, to heal ourselves. Figure out what it is that our younger selves need to be healed and to feel safe. In every relationship for me, be it friendship, partnership, businesship, intimate partner relationship, safety is paramount. If I do not feel safe, we cannot be in relationship. That's just a deal breaker for me. Because there was a time when the childhood me didn't feel safe. There was a time when the childhood me, struggled with safety. So now my adult self knows that not feeling safe is a trigger. So I can't be anywhere or with anyone or in relationship with anyone that doesn't make me feel sick. But anyway, that's just me. You figure out your triggers. So I talked about faith a little bit and how Jesus and therapy, in my opinion, goes together. But I want us to understand that faith doesn't erase the need to heal. We can have faith all we want to, because it's the same Bible that says faith without works is dead. So what that simply means for me in this instance is you can have all the faith in the world, but if you don't do the work to heal your inner child or heal your childhood trauma, it's just faith. It's dead. It does nothing. It serves no purpose. We serve, for those of us that believe, we serve a God that heals. But I also believe healing is a process. Prayer is powerful. Scripture is life-giving. Wise counsel can be life-changing. Supportive relationship can help us experience trust and safety. Sometimes faith isn't avoiding the wound, but it's inviting God into those places you spent years avoiding. It's being totally vulnerable with yourself and with God and saying, you know what? This area of my life is still unhealed. The mention of so-and-so's name makes me feel some type of way, God. The smell of that particular perfume or cologne is a trigger for me. The thought of driving down this street, it hurts. The thought about thinking about whatever it is that brings back that memory still hurts. And so once you release it, you're now saying, I'm activating my faith but I'm also going to do the work to figure out and determine why and how I can heal through it. That's why I say Jesus and therapy, they go together. Ever wondered, since you've been hearing me rambling for this last whatever minutes, how do I know that I'm still operating from my childhood wound? How do I know this is still a childhood wound and I'm operating from that perspective? As they say in church, glad you asked. If you're constantly seeking validation, or if you still feel fearful and abandoned, and you still struggle to trust people, chances are you're living from a wounded child's perspective. Maybe you still feel responsible for everyone's emotions, or you avoid vulnerability and feel guilty resting. That means you may still be operating from a wounded child's perspective. How about when you equate love with performance? Or you never feel good enough and you're still struggling to receive healthy love in opposed to unhealthy love. Maybe you feel uncomfortable when life is peaceful because chaos seems so much better and familiar. That simply means you're still operating or living from a wounded child's perspective. But don't lose heart. If any of those things I just mentioned resonated with you, this is me inviting you to reflect and understand that these things, they don't define you. It's simply pointing you to areas that you may need to care for. It's just simply allowing you or giving you the moment to say, you know what? After hearing this podcast, this area still is a sore spot for me. After hearing this podcast, I'm going to deal with my inner childhood that has been tugging at me all this time. But I suppressed it because I thought because I'm a successful entrepreneur, I'm fine. Because I run several businesses, I'm fine. Because I have the doctorate and the master's degree, I'm okay. Because I'm married and my marriage seems to be successful and my children are doing well, I didn't think I need to deal with those things. But you know, after hearing this podcast, maybe I do. Because who wants to have a really successful and amazing marriage and then that one thing triggers you and it all comes crumbling down simply because we didn't address it? Healing isn't becoming someone else. Healing is becoming more fully yourself. It may look like learning how to set boundaries. And if you don't know, there is a podcast for that. I recorded it earlier. Healing means letting yourself grieve what you didn't receive. Oh, and that's so powerful. Some of us have never heard our parents say, I love you. Some of us have never received a hug from our parents. And it's okay to allow yourself to grieve what you never received. It's okay. Doesn't make you less than. Healing means accepting that your past has influenced you without letting it determine your future. Yes, my past played a role in who I am now, but it doesn't have to continue to play a role in who I become in a negative light. My past was the springboard. I didn't know what I didn't know at that time. I didn't know that healing is something that I can work and go through. I didn't know that there were childhood traumas that were still traumatizing me even in my adult. I didn't know. But now that I do, healing means I'm not going to let it determine my future. Healing means I have to be open to receiving love without believing that I have to do anything to earn it. For those of you that are believers, there's nothing that you did to earn the love of God. Nothing. You didn't have to work for it. You didn't have to fast for it. You didn't have to speak in tongues for it. You didn't have to do any of that. He chose to make a choice to love in spite of who we are and who we knew we would become. And that's the same mindset that we need to take on. I am capable of receiving love without believing I have to earn it. One of the affirmations I gave a client not too long ago who was struggling with self-love based on childhood trauma is what I had her repeat every day to herself was, I deserve to be loved. I deserve to receive and give healthy love. Now, what's healthy for me may not be healthy for you, and that's what you have to determine. Healing also means celebrating your progress instead of chasing perfection. Listen, none of us are perfect. And if you are, I know some of us have type A personalities and we have to be perfect. And if you're like me, you have OCD, sometimes everything has to have its place. You know, this have to be a way, that have to be a way. I get it. But healing means celebrating your progress instead of choosing perfection. Because guess what? Every day you do something that heals or addresses your inner trauma in any way, even in the smallest form, celebrate that. Embrace that. Build on that. Don't just look at it, oh, as another thing. No, that's something major. Like, celebrate all those things that, you know, you've accomplished over the years. Yes. But when you start dealing with that inside stuff, when you start dealing with the enemy, celebrate your gains because you've done the work and you continue to do the work. So take a deep breath, close your eyes, and just breathe. Allow it to set in. Allow yourself to feel what you feel. Allow the trauma. Allow the grief, allow whatever it is to flow through you and then decide to deal with it. As I close out this podcast, I know this conversation may have stirred up some memories for some. And if it did, I want to leave you with this. You're not weak because your childhood still affects you. You are human. The goal isn't to erase your story, because after all, it has shaped who you become. The goal is to stop letting unhealed wounds write your next chapter. You deserved love then, and you deserve love now. And while we cannot rewrite the beginning of our story, we most certainly, with the help of God and support, can choose how the next chapters are written. And I'm going to do something that I've never really done before, but I feel the need to do it here. I'm going to pray. Dear Father, thank you for seeing every part of us, including the parts we've hidden for years. You know the hurts we experience as children and the ways they have shaped us. Give us courage to face those wounds with honesty, wisdom to seek healing, and grace to be patient with ourselves. Help us to receive your love more deeply and learn healthier ways of relating to others. Guide us towards hope, truth, healing, and restoration. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you this week to spend a few moments just journaling, writing your feelings and your thoughts on paper. And if you're wondering, where do I start? How do I journal? Here's a few things you can consider. Write them down. What message about myself did you learn growing up? Of all those messages, which ones still influence my relationships today? Which message reflect truth? And which needs to be challenged? What is one small act of kindness or care that you can offer yourself this week? Do the work. And remember, Jesus and therapy, they go hand in hand. So guys, until next time, this is the Love of Me is Enough podcast. And remember, if you remember nothing else, that loving you is enough. Bye-bye. Your story's just begun. Believe in who you are. You're the